All right. Welcome back to the Monetize Your Mindset podcast. This is where we talk about creating financial security by monetizing what you already know or do. This week, though, we're going to learn how amazing it can be to stub your toe. So stick around for that. But before we get into that, you know what we got to do? Roll it.
Are you prepared for what happens when what happens happens? Life happens when you least expect it. Create financial security. Monetize what you already know. Welcome to Monetize Your Mindset.
Monetize your mindset.
Identify your ideal side hustle so that you have the resources to deal with whatever happens when what happens happens. It's time to monetize your mindset. Here's your host, Bart Merrill.
All right, I told you we're going to talk about stubbing your toe and how amazing it can be if you just look for the right things in it. Today we sit down with Kevin Clayson. He is the author of Flip the Gratitude Switch. And since we're in November, you know, Thanksgiving month, we got Christmas just around the corner, we have the election that is just supposedly over, but still lingering, and it's going to linger for a while. A lot of things that are just kind of boiling. And so we need to think about the good things of the stuff that's going on. Anyway, we're going to talk with Kevin Clayson about that. It's going to be amazing. It was a fun interview. Kevin is just amazing. He's just a great speaker. You're going to enjoy today's interview. Before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. It's just around the corner, and I have the perfect stocking stuffer just for you. It is my book, Monetize Your Mindset. It's really a book about awareness, about being aware of the opportunities that are all around you. The subtitle is Create Financial Security, Monetize What You Already Know. It's a great book. It, like I said, it's kind of a memory jogger. I interview lots of people who have done just that. They've had great success, medium success, a little bit of success in monetizing the things that they already knew or that they were doing. And it's just a great book. I think it'd be a great stocking stuffer for your kids because it's something that people don't teach in school when it comes to finance. All right, with that, let's get back to the podcast for the day. Kevin Clayson. All right, everybody, welcome. Mr. Clayson, today with us, we have Kevin Clayson. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for joining us today. I kind of explained everything to you a little bit before we got on here that this is the Monetize Your Mindset podcast where we talk about money. But because of November, you know, it's the Thanksgiving month. Christmas is just around the corner, and we're the day after the election day, which we still don't know the results. I think everybody needs a little gratitude.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I'll tell you what. Hey, if you were to ask me when somebody needs gratitude, I'm going to say all the time, every time, but especially in the middle of life's most difficult frustrations. And that's what a lot of people forget. So I'm glad we're talking because like we were talking about before we jumped on the recording, man, half the country, as soon as we know the result of this election, half the country is pretty sure that the country has exploded and they're, you know, there's going to be weeping and nailing and gnashing of teeth for one side or the other. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's fact. It's so funny. I was just talking. I have this friend who he's kind of feeling less than optimistic about the election results. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And he's just like, oh my gosh, I have this pit in my stomach. I just feel like this negativity. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, do you realize? I said, listen, you may feel like you're battling Goliath, but you're David and everybody out there is David. And there are stones that you can sling to knock down whatever that giant is. And for me, that stuff like simple kindness and gratitude in the middle of frustration. And it's crazy. It transforms you into a superhero when you use it the right way. And so I think it's certainly something we need to talk about and something people need right now.
Right. It is going to be one of those things that 2020 is going to produce more stuff that we're going to have to just kind of swallow with a spoonful of sugar and let it go down. But before we get too much into that, let's talk about you for a second. Tell us a little bit about you. Introduce yourself, what you do for a living, what you do on the side, and all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, let's start with the most important fact. And I don't know if your viewers are going to get to see this, but I'm bald. Okay. So listen, I know hardship in life. Okay. I used to have a thick head of hair. It was awesome. There was a time when I wanted to be in a boy band. So it was bleached blonde and spiked. And now this is what I look like. So let's start there. I just want to get, acknowledge the elephant in the room. I am follically challenged. Would you like to know other things, or is that enough?
We would like to know other things.
I'm just kidding. So my name's Kevin Clayson. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and just right outside of Oakland is where I grew up. Graduated high school there. I went on and left California to go serve a mission for my church. I lived in Germany for 2 years, and the whole time I was there, all of it, I was within a decade of the wall coming down, and everywhere I lived and worked is what had been East Germany, which is crazy because it gives you insane perspective of what life can be like when you don't have the things that you and I enjoy on a very regular basis, because I got to know and love and serve these people and find out what life was like. After living in Germany for a couple years, I moved to Utah, and that's where I am right now. I live in Orem. I went to Brigham Young University. I graduated with a degree in political science. I thought I was going to be an attorney. That never happened, and I'm sort of glad it never happened, because I think I would have hated it, honestly. But I thought that's what I was going to do. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I think they make money, so let's just be an attorney. Well, I was going through a divorce right around the time I was graduating. I'd been married for 3.5 years. My ex-wife fell in love with a friend of mine, like left me. It was like out of the blue. I had no idea it was coming. And I'm like, I need to do something so that I can hang on to her. I should get a real job. Because at the time, I was just working retail as I was finishing up my education. So I found myself working in finance. Not even like legit finance. I was doing car loans and like signature loans and eventually mortgages for Wells Fargo. Well, I ended up kind of loving the mortgage product. I left Wells Fargo. I became a self-employed mortgage broker. And as I was prospecting and hustling business, I called a friend of mine who I knew had done a bunch of real estate, and we ended up forming a company. And the company, we've now owned the company for 13 years. We've helped our clients transact over $500 million in simple and conservative single-family residential real estate investments. Our company's here in Orem. We have 20 W-2 employees, thousands of clients all across the country. We've done almost 4,000 transactions. And in the middle of all that, I felt inspired to write a book about gratitude. And so in 2016, I published a book called Flip the Gratitude Switch. We've sold thousands of copies. We sold copies in more than 24 countries throughout the world. I get a chance to do a bunch of speaking. I speak for youth and for schools and for rehab and recovery centers and for nonprofits and for non-denominational Christian churches and Christian churches that are really popular here in the state of Utah. And the most important thing on top of all of that business is I'm a dad and a husband. I got remarried to the love of my life. We've been married 13 years. I have 3 adorable kiddos that are 11, 9, and 7. So I get to coach basketball and soccer and baseball and go to horse riding lessons and go to dance recitals and do all the things that make me just fill my life with joy. And so, yeah, man, that's kind of me in a nutshell, which just reminded me of Austin Powers. Remember, that's me in a nutshell. Oh, look, I'm in a nut. And that's what we call a poor British accent. So anyway, yeah, that's about me.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your investing business and how it helps other people. Is investing a viable side hustle for people, side income?
Heck yes, if you do it the right way. So here's the thing. So we're in real estate, right? And the whole reason we started our company was because back in like 2007 and 2008, there was a whole bunch of hucksters out there that were hucking a bunch of real estate nonsense, right? It was like, come to my seminar and spend $20,000 to learn how to do real estate. And so you'd go to the back of the room, you'd spend 20 grand. And then it was like, you should do real estate. Go look at 100 houses and then put an offer on one. Like, it's ridiculous. And so there was all of these people that were selling all of this education. And in Utah, where we live, there was a ton of people spending a bunch of money, but they weren't actually transacting real estate. So we kind of took issue with that. And we're like, hey, instead of making people pay for education, what if we're a transaction-based company? We own a mortgage brokerage, an insurance brokerage, a real estate brokerage, a marketing company. What if we just helped people do real estate and then we made money through the traditional sort of channels? Right. And that's what we did. And the whole reason we did it, Bart, is because People should be able to be good at what they're good at and monetize the things that they're passionate about, the things, like you say, that they already know. But a lot of us, like when I was going to be an attorney, it wasn't because I had a passion to be an attorney. It wasn't because I knew how to be an attorney. I heard that it made money. Well, instead, now I get to focus on things that I love and that I am interested in, and it generates income for me and my family. And so for a lot of people, they know they want to invest in real estate. They know they want to own real estate investments, but they don't know how to do it. They don't have the time. They don't have the expertise. They don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to go and gamble and lose. We always say when it comes to real estate, the best, most profitable philosophy is Moneyball. Do you remember the movie with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill?
Yep.
Okay, so I grew up an Oakland A's fan, right? For those of you who haven't seen the movie, it was also a book by Michael Lewis, who's the guy that wrote The Big Short, about like the whole mortgage bubble exploding. But in the book, the Oakland Athletics were like the second poorest team in all of baseball, and they were competing with the Yankees that had the largest payroll in all of baseball. And so the A's had to go, how do we compete? And so they ultimately boil it down to the philosophy that instead of going and chasing flashy players and expensive players and players that are going to appear on Wheaties boxes, what if we just go get people that are good at getting on base? They can get hit by pitches. They can bunt. They can hit singles, but they'll never hit more than that. They're really good at seeing pitches and taking walks, because if we can increase our on-base percentage, we can win games. The more you're on base, the more shot you have at winning games. So it was this different approach to baseball. We do the same thing with real estate. We say, go hit real estate singles. It's not about the big multifamily deal. It's not about the big, you know, apartment building that's syndicated, and so you feel really cool about, you know, some multi-million dollar deal. It's simple and conservative, single family residential properties in some of the best markets in the country, where the vast majority of the work is done for you. So you gain all the benefits of real estate investing without having to be an expert at it. Because what our company does, we have teams in markets. We find you the property. We fix it up. We get it financed for you, insured for you. We lease it out, and you keep 100% of the profit, because we make money through the transactions, right? So you own the property 100%. You get all the cash flow, all the tax benefits, all the appreciation. We just help you by transacting real estate, and then hopefully that leads to additional properties in the future. And so when you do it like that, you're not swinging for the fences. You know, the difference between a lot of people and maybe most of me and most of our clients is, if we want to get into real estate and we think we have to swing for the fences, we get up there and we think, oh, well, I've heard, you know, from personal development people that Babe Ruth is the example, because he struck out a lot, but man, he just kept going and he'd hit home runs. Well, the difference between you, me, and Babe Ruth is this. Babe Ruth had another at-bat coming like two innings later. Our clients, if they step up to the plate with $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 that is their nest egg for their retirement, and they swing for the fences and miss, they may not get another at-bat. So if there's a more conservative way to do real estate, where you've got an expert team doing the work for you, so you're not making the mistakes and you're spending way less money to get real estate that can perform over time, that's hitting real estate singles. And that is how it works for the vast majority of people. And it's why we've been successful as a company and why our clients have been able to crush it.
That sounds really different than some of the stuff that I've heard that's out there. And so it's one of those things where, like you said, you have these people teaching, you know, the Babe Ruth theory. And I use Babe Ruth in one of my questions that I ask on my podcast. But like you said, you don't have that next at bat a lot of the times. So I like what you have talked about for this part of the podcast, this section where we're talking about your business there. What's the company name? Where can people find you?
Oh yeah, sure. It's called Done For You Real Estate. And you could go to DFY, like Done For You, DFY-realestate.com. So DFY-realestate.com. We also have a podcast called Replace Your Income. And we just have those real estate conversations and talk, because for us, real estate should be about income replacement, one property at a time, not becoming an uber duber millionaire and driving fancy cars and having gold plated toilet seats and like flying in helicopters and looking awesome on YouTube. That's not what we think real estate wealth is. Real estate wealth is simple and conservative income replacement, one property at a time over time. So podcast is Replace Your Income. Website is dfy-realestate.com.
Well, and that's kind of what we are about here at Monetize Your Mindset as well. We're not about, you know, getting rich quick or getting rich at all. We're about creating that financial security so that when, here's another one of my quirky quotes. It's, are you prepared for what happens when what happens happens? And it just so happens we're right in the middle of what's happening.
That's for sure.
And so now that's a perfect transition into gratitude. Ooh, and how gratitude.
Love that topic.
So let's get into how gratitude can change your life and why we need to be grateful for 2020.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because a lot of us kind of think that gratitude is like this touchy-feely emotional thing. Like, I'm going to do a gratitude journal. Like, I'm going to go on a gratitude walk and have a gratitude jar. And so we sort of think like, oh, if I just like say I'm thankful for something, like I'm going to be better. Okay, listen, here's what I came to realize. Gratitude is not something that you just feel and express. Gratitude is something you do. For me, gratitude is a verb, not a noun. And when we approach gratitude in that way, it transforms us as humans. Listen, there is plenty of neuroscience that backs this up. Not to mention biological components that back this up. And this is what a lot of people don't think of, right? We hear like an attitude of gratitude. Okay, absolutely. I agree 100%. We should have an attitude of gratitude. But see, when we only talk about gratitude in terms of this kind of like, you know, floaty, nebulous, like emotion, what it becomes is something that's like, okay, yeah, I know I'm supposed to say thank you. Like I gotta. But the problem with that is we don't think then that we have control over it. Like we think that gratitude is something that happens after the rainbow comes out because the rain has passed. Well, what if I were to tell you that gratitude is far more about finding things in the middle of the storm to be thankful for? Because when you do that, you're doing the work. See, it's easy to be thankful when things are going well, right? That's not hard. And if it's not hard, it's not going to change us as people. Listen, if you want to go get in shape and you say, you know, January 1st is coming in a couple months, right? So a billion of us are going to be like, I'm going to be in so much better shape next year, you guys. Even if gyms are closed, like I'm super gonna buy Beachbody. Like that's what we're gonna do, right? And then we're gonna say, okay, I'm gonna do it. Listen, if we got up every single day for 365 days and we went to the gym and all we did is we walk into the gym, assuming that gyms were open, and we do like 3 bicep curls with a 2-pound weight. We walk for 2 minutes on the treadmill and then we leave and we don't change anything else in our life. At the end of that 365 days, we're gonna be like, what? I've been going to the gym every day for 365 days and I haven't even changed anything. This is stupid. Gyms don't work. Okay, listen, gratitude done the right way in the middle of life's difficulties, in the middle of frustration, that's like not just getting the gym membership, but getting the gym membership, getting up every day, doing bicep curls till your arms are shaking, running on the treadmill for a half hour, and then changing your eating habits. And then at the end of the year, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I am an entirely transformed person. You've got to put in the work if you want to get the results. And people don't realize that gratitude can take work, but it takes work in the middle of these moments of frustration. And my whole book, everything that I wrote was, how do we take these moments of frustration? And there's a formula that I put to it. The book's called Flip the Gratitude Switch. And I put a formula in it that goes along with FLIP. And we can get into that if you want, but it's literally a formula to take frustration and turn it into something. And when you do that, there is a neurological component where you create new neural pathways. You quite literally become a different human and your body starts to do things. So it literally changes your biological and chemical makeup as well as your neural pathways, all by using and not just saying, but executing and doing gratitude in the middle of life's frustrations, big and small. And that is where I just have this passion and this mission. If people could understand it, I'm not kidding you, Bart, it saves freaking lives. I have got so many people that have reached out to me in the middle of their darkest moments. They use something like this and it saves their life. I don't save it. They save it because they use something like this. And so when I talk about this, I get real passionate because we're not messing around. This is not you should do a gratitude journal and write like a sentence about something that's awesome. This is way more than that. And it changes, it literally shifts trajectories of lives. It's amazing.
So what got you into this gratitude funk?
Yeah. So hi, my name is Kevin Clayson and I used to be the least thankful person on the planet. Like legit. Like here's where it all kind of hit for me. So we started this company in 2007. In the early 2010s, The company was growing. We had hundreds of reps all over the country that were out evangelizing our company. And I was traveling all over the country. They would go and evangelize our company. They'd put people in a room. I'd bop all over the country. I was on a plane every week and I'd go and I'd do seminars. And then we get people to kind of come in and hang out with us. And I'd always wanted to travel. Like I always thought like, oh man, when I will have arrived. You know, we think these things when we're young, right? It's like, I will have arrived when I've got money, I've got a house, I've got a car, I'm traveling for work, I'm an owner of a company, I've got a family, I've got all these things, right? We put it on paper, like this is how I'm gonna be happy. Okay, well, I checked all those boxes and I wasn't happy. So, which is crazy, we think that sounds insane, but just go ask, I feel bad saying this, but go ask Robin Williams. You know, go ask some of these people that we know, these tragedies of these people that were just gifts to the world. And they do things and make decisions. Sorry. They do things and make decisions that take themselves out of this world. How could somebody with that level of fame and success and notoriety, because we think that those are the things we're supposed to chase. Well, here I was, I'd been chasing, had a great job. I was traveling all over the country. I had this beautiful wife. I had two kids. One had just been born. Everything on paper was good. But here's kind of what would happen. I'd go fly, go give a talk, and I'd be exhausted. I'd come home, and I've been hustling the whole time I was gone. I'd come home, and my son, my amazing, beautiful baby boy who had just been born, he spent the first 2 weeks of his life in the intensive care unit. He had some lung issues. And so when we brought him home, every time he'd peep in the middle of the night, we were like running down the hall, like, is he okay? Right? Like we were so worried about him. And so we totally trained this kid that, hey, if you don't want to sleep, just go ahead and peep and you don't ever have to sleep. We'll just give you bottles and loves and cuddles and diapers like all day. You don't have to sleep through the night. And so what would happen is I'd go away. I'd go work and my wife would be getting up with our awesome little guy. And then I'd come home and she's exhausted, but I'm exhausted. But then I'm the one who should be getting up with my kid because I've been out and she's been doing it. So then I'd get up and then I was more exhausted. And then I'd go into work. And at the time we'd hired a guy to run our marketing and he and I did not see eye to eye. It's very rare in my business career that I've had like legit shouting matches with someone. This guy and I, we got into it. And so I hated working with this guy because we were kind of working through out of the same department, even though I was one of the founders and owners of the company. But we couldn't just fire him. It wasn't a unilateral type decision. I was exhausted and I was literally waking up every day, like dreading the day. And how insane is that, Bart? Everything on paper was exactly what I dreamed it to be. But how was it that I was waking up every day, sort of dreading the day? Right. And there was this one day in particular where, you know, I'd got home from a trip. It was a rough night. I was exhausted. I drive my car up to my parking spot. I'm looking at the time. I would like go down these stairs to get into this one door into our office building. And I was looking down those stairs and I was like, oh my gosh, I so desperately don't wanna, right? You ever had that day? I'm sure if you guys are listening, I'm sure you've had those moments, right? You're like, I just can't, or I literally can't even, right? Like that's a thing. I literally can't even. And so I was literally can't even. And I was just like, I can't, dude. I'm so done. So here I am sitting in my car, wallowing in self-pity and self-imposed misery and victimhood. And this one word comes to my mind. Cause I was thinking, man, I'm just done, dude. Like I want to bounce. I'm out. Like, I don't know what that means. I'm just done. I'm just super done. It wasn't like a suicidal thought. It was just like, I'm just done. Like D-O-N-E, capitals, underline, exclamation point, hashtag it, whatever. I'm done. In that moment of kind of what for me was in a sense a rock bottom. We all have rock bottoms, but they're different. And so we can't really look at somebody else's rock bottom and judge it. We should just judge our own rock bottom. And the cool thing with rock bottom is when you get there, you've got two choices, give up or bounce back. And so this was me at that moment. And I get this word that comes into my mind. And the word was, I believe God put it there. And the word was gratitude. And I'm like, whatever. Like I said out loud, like in my car, like it comes into my brain and I'm like, whatever, seriously, how could I possibly be thankful in this heaping pile of mess that is my current existence? Everything was good on paper, Bart, but I was looking at it through an entirely different set of lenses. And so what that did is I knew that God gave me that word, and I knew it was now incumbent upon me to figure out why. And so I started this journey, and I started to look up books and read books and do research to figure out how could grad, see, there's lots of content about how easy it is to be thankful when things are going well. There's all kinds of books that tell you that gratitude is important, but I couldn't find a single stinking book that would tell me what I would do in the middle of depression or difficulty or frustration. How do I find gratitude there? I couldn't find it. So I was forced to start experimenting. And I won't bore you with the rest of the story, but ultimately it led to a journal post that I'd written from a speaker that I'd heard once who made the comment that you shouldn't just do a gratitude journal. You should do a frustration journal where you write your frustration and then you write for something to be thankful for about that frustration. And that changed everything. And I started to call it flipping my gratitude switch. Because I'd find myself sort of easing back into this way of life. I'd created these neural pathways that, you know, we do this thing where we love to marinate in things that are bad, and we go into this vicious cycle, and our brain literally draws connections from one bad thing to another, and then we create this narrative in our mind that everything sucks. And it's literally this mental process that takes place. Well, what I started to do was become conscious of that moment when I thought something sucked, and I went, hold on, let me question it. What if I just press pause on life for a moment and I question why the thing sucks? What if I could identify what it is that I think sucks? And then what if I could see if there's some kernel of something to be thankful for in the middle of that frustration? And when I would do that, it would change my insides. I'd feel different. I'd feel lighter. It was like somebody was shining the light on the deepest places of my soul and my heart. And I started to do it again and again and again. And it started to change me as a person, but I didn't know why. And so eventually, as I started to share these ideas with people in my life, they were like, dude, you got to put this in a book. I never thought I'd put it in a book. But I felt God call me to put it in a book. And I had a lot of people saying, put it in a book. And so I ended up writing Flip the Gratitude Switch. And in order to write the book well, I had to do the research. I had to really create some sort of tangible approach to what it was that was happening inside of me so that I could make this portable, tangible approach and share it with everybody so they could use it. And that's what got me there. And now I've been practicing that. And it has transformed my family, Bart, my wife and I's relationship, my kids, my day-to-day life, our company. Literally, it's shifted everything because of that rock bottom place and then the bounce back that came from God giving me the word gratitude.
You and I are kind of on the same page when you begun the journey. I am not a big mindset person per se. You know, with Monetize Your Mindset and with my courses and my stuff that I have out there, I do touch on mindset, but I would have been like you, oh yeah, you want me to write a gratitude journal and write the good things and blah, blah, blah. But I do agree with you in a sense that it's all about perspective and how you had it all, but you didn't realize it. I before COVID hit, I would help with a drug rehab center in downtown Salt Lake. We would try and teach them speaking. And one night, it was on Tuesday nights that we would meet with them down there. I just happened to pick up a friend of mine that's from Nigeria at the airport in Salt Lake, and he had to go because I had to go over there and do my thing there. He went over there with me, and I had him take 10 minutes just to talk to the people there, and I was amazed at what he had to say to them because he was, you guys don't know what you got. You try growing up in Nigeria. If you want, even if you have good grades, you can't get into school unless you have money to bribe the people to get you into school. And he really just kind of, I don't want to say went off on him because he did it nicely, but basically his message was, what are you doing throwing away your life? You have so much good stuff here in America with what we have. He says, you guys shape up. And it was really eye-opening to me because sometimes I don't realize what I have or what we have. And once you do realize, wow, you realize what you have, you're a lot more thankful.
It's so true.
So I do believe in gratitude and all that stuff. I don't know all the stuff about the neural pathways in my brain and all that stuff. And I'm not doing that because I don't want to know, but I think it's interesting what you have found. So that's kind of, you know, we have 2020, we have COVID, we have the lockdowns, we have people without jobs. My business has gone way down. I had huge goals for the speaking and the doing my own seminars and stuff. I had 4 seminars set up this year that I canceled. I planned on being 20 on 20 different stages for pay. Didn't happen. 2020 has messed up a lot of people's lives. So what do we do to be grateful? What is your suggestion? You know, now we have the election. Half the people are going to be upset one way or another. What do we do? So go into your FLIP acronym.
Yeah, sure. So I want to circle back to something you said about perspective, because there's this analogy that really helps me. So have you ever been to a 3D movie? Mm-hmm. Like gone and seen, and have you ever taken the glasses off?
Yeah.
Okay. So the screen is blurry, right? Like it's just, you take the glasses off and it's blurry. Well, imagine going into a 3D movie and nobody told you it was a 3D movie. And so you therefore don't have glasses and you watch that whole movie. Now, the reality is, if you were to sit and like watch one of these, you know, big Marvel movies or something, right? You're going to, at the end of the movie, you're going to know who the main characters were, when the action scenes were, what the funny parts were, you know, when the romantic stuff happened. You're going to know the plot of the movie, but your experience of it may be very different from somebody that watched it with those glasses. And what's interesting is the movie itself doesn't change, but the lenses through which you view it, that changes it for you. And so what's crazy is the movie of our life is quite literally playing out in front of all of us. And the movie may not change, but how we choose to view it can. I always like to say that you can't change life as it's coming at you, but you always retain 100% the ability to react to it however you choose to react to life as it's coming at you. And so this idea that if we could put on a different set of lenses to view the same movie of our life through, the movie doesn't have to change, but our experience of it will. And that is, for me, those lenses are gratitude. Now, the FLIP formula, this is what I would say to everybody. Listen, we've gone through it. I get it. Like 2020, you know, it sucks for a lot of people. I don't want to discount that. I don't want to treat that lightly. Because, you know, we know what it's meant. I've had friends that have had COVID. I've had friends that have struggled mightily and still are in the ICU. You know, I've seen friends and people that I care for with job loss and with difficulty. But what if we can't change those things? We can't change at this point. We've done our part for the election. We can't change who's going to be elected at this point. We can't change whether or not we're going to wear masks or whether or not there's going to be a national mask mandate. We can't change the fact that right now in Utah County, you know, we're a high-risk county and we're supposed to wear masks. We can't change it. Like, we're not going to change that. So then how do we change us? And so what I came up with the FLIP formula that goes along with FLIP is quite literally the formula that allows us to tap in and do these things. So F stands for find the frustration. Now, I always, when I go speak to schools especially, and I do it with adult crews too, I always use this example of something that we all understand, which is stubbing our toe. Okay, because it just gives us a really simple way to kind of give this thing a framework. So I used to live in, my wife and I just bought a new home recently, but the house that we used to live in, for some reason, we got this brand new bed, and for years and years, I would wake up in the morning and I'd have to walk around my bed to go use the restroom, and I'd always stub my toe. Like, I would always cut the corner too short. And oh my gosh, every day it would hurt so bad, and I would become like this rage monster right at the beginning of the day. I was like, stupid bed, a stupid toe, and I'd be so mad. When I started to go through the process of figuring out how to find gratitude and frustration, this is the process that I began to go through. I'd stub my toe, and that would be frustrating. But one of the things that many of us don't do is we don't acknowledge why we're frustrated or acknowledge the difficulty. We just steamroll past it, right? And if we steamroll past it, like, a lot of us don't realize that our brains kind of work like train tracks, and our brains chug along a certain track until we physically do something to switch the track of our brain. And so what we've been been kind of programmed to do, and what we do around one another is we love to commiserate, right? We love to do that thing. How are you doing? Oh my gosh, 2020 is just terrible. Like everything is so bad, right? We love to do it. And we love to just like, we one-upsmanship each other with our complaints. Oh, you think your boss is bad? Let me tell you about my boss. We even do it with the weather, right? How's the weather today? It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too snowy. It's not snowy enough. We have, for whatever, we kind of default to this negative perception of the world around us. Well, what if when something were to happen, we understand that that may be our default programming, but we can interrupt the program as soon as it starts to run. When I would stub my toe, I'd go, oh boy, that hurts. And instead of just like stubbing my toe and being angry and then walking into the hall and stepping on a Lego and then my foot's on fire and then I get into the shower and there's no hot water and then I look in the mirror and I've got more gray whiskers and more like crow's feet on my eyes because I'm getting old and I smile too much. All of a sudden, you know, I go to work and there's not enough gas in the tank and I'm just like, you know, I'm an hour into the day. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Instead, what if we rewind it all the way to that toe stub? And when we stub our toe, instead of just kind of steamrolling past it and keeping our train track of our brain chugging along the everything sucks track, what if we just go, whoa, 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 I'm frustrated. I get it. I stubbed my toe. Okay, why am I frustrated? That simple question of asking ourselves why we're frustrated or feeling some kind of an emotion that all of a sudden just kind of came up out of the blue. If we can ask why, we can then identify the problem. As soon as we identify the problem, we can do some work on it. So when we go, oh, I stubbed my toe, it hurts so bad. Whoa, 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 okay, why am I angry? Why am I frustrated? And then we just answer it. You know what? I'm frustrated because I stubbed my toe again. Okay, look, all we did is we slowed the train to a full stop and we say, hold up, I know what the problem is. I've identified the problem and I've identified it so that now I can make a different choice in terms of the train track of my brain. And we go to L. So F is find the frustration. You literally ask the question, why am I frustrated? You answer that question. By the way, that cognitive exercise, that mental exercise takes less than 10 seconds, but will shift the entire trajectory of your day. So often we just roll through things, right? So why am I frustrated? I'm frustrated because I stubbed my toe. Cool. Full stop. Now what? L. L is you look for what's awesome. It's so cool. Whenever I go and speak to kids, and I mean, I guess adults too, but I use this analogy of stubbing our toe. And then this is what I always do, Bart. And I love it. I go, okay, what could possibly be awesome about stubbing your toe?
Great question.
Right? And this is what happens every time. It's like silent. It's like crickets, which is usually the case when I get done speaking anyway. But it's like crickets, right? And all of a sudden, like one timid hand will pop up. You have a toe? Yeah, I have a toe. What else could be awesome? Another hand pops up. You can feel your toe. Yes, I can feel my toe. What else? You have a bed. Yes, what else? Your bed is in a house. Yes, you have a house. You have a job for your house. Yes. And all of a sudden, all these hands start to pop up and then I have to calm all the hands down. So what happens is it's quite literally a real life, real time mental exercise that proves that this thing works. They just don't know they're taking part of a mental exercise, right? Because what we do is we full stop the train. And then when we give the brain a suggestion, what could be awesome about this thing that I've now identified that I'm frustrated about. It may take a second for this train to get chugging, but then as soon as it does, we've switched the train track of the brain and we start chugging down a different path. So what happens is now we've given our brain the idea that we could go find different connections. And so these kids, they hear one suggestion and then their brain immediately starts to think of the others. See, that's what would happen to me. I'd stub my toe. Why am I frustrated? I'm frustrated because I stubbed my toe. Ow. Okay, what could be awesome? I have a toe. I have a bed. See, I have this really good friend who unfortunately passed away, but he didn't live all of his life as a quadriplegic, but he became one. He couldn't feel a toe stub, right? I think of Sean and I go, ah, oh, you know what? I can feel it. And then I'd think, oh, I've got a bed. I'd look over in the bed and there's this gorgeous, beautiful creature that somehow I could tricked into marrying me that's, you know, still sleeping in the bed if I didn't scream too loud. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for this toe. And I mean, I have this bed and look at this beautiful wife, which makes me think of my kids. Oh, I love these kiddos. And so then I would just be on this entirely different wavelength. So when we look for what's awesome embedded in the frustration, and we switch the train track of our brain, we've then done the first bit of the work. We then move to I. I is where we install gratitude. Now, here's the deal. In the book, I say initiate gratitude because I didn't think of the word install when I wrote it. I need to go back and rewrite it because install is better. Because here's what happens. If you think all of us have a smartphone, right? And when we want to download a new app, where do we go? Go to the app store. And then when we're in the app store, we go, what do I want? I want that thing. And then we hit the button to install the app. And then something that was not tangible all of a sudden is on our phone and it's now tangible. We all of a sudden have 1 billion levels of Candy Crush like that, right? Now, what's crazy about that is we think, okay, well, cool. That's good for a phone. Well, what's the app store of life? Well, I believe the app store of life is language. It's words, right? Think about it. If we wake up every day and we say, I'm unsuccessful, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, and I'm never gonna make money, guess what's gonna happen? We're gonna feel stupid and ugly and we're never gonna make money. But if we got up every day and we used affirmations to say, you know what, I'm on my way, I'm doing awesome, I'm confident about my possibilities, and we were to use all this positive language, it starts to change, right? We know that from Think and Grow Rich. We know that from The Science of Getting Rich. We know that those things make a difference, right? Our brain does work in this way. So when we install gratitude, well, our job is to make something that was not tangible, which a second ago, we didn't think it was possible to be thankful for the thing that just happened that really sucked. So how do we make it tangible? We install the gratitude by using words, because words are the app store of life. And so then we say, okay, I'm going to take my list of what's awesome, embedded in the frustration, and I'm going to use words with it, and I'm going to say the word thankful, and I'm going to go, you know what? So we go, okay, I found the frustration. I'm frustrated. I stubbed my toe. Ow. Now I know that. Look for what's awesome. I have a toe. I have a bed. I have a wife. Cool. Now we go, I'm so thankful that I can feel my toe. I'm so thankful that I have this bed. I'm so thankful for this amazing wife. I'm so thankful for my kids. And when we use those words, because words have power. Just go look at that water crystal, you know, that Japanese dude, right? You know what I'm talking about? The experiment where he like said words to water and then the crystals form differently, or the rice form differently. We know that words come with energy and there's something real there. It's an intangible that becomes tangible. So we use words to make that which is intangible tangible. And we say, I'm thankful for the thing that is awesome embedded in the frustration. And what happens is we immediately go to the fourth step, which is P. P is you power up with gratifuel. Gratitude fuel, because gratitude fuels life. And here's what happens. It happens naturally. When you go through, find the frustration, look for what's awesome, and then install gratitude by using words, saying that you're thankful for the thing that's awesome embedded in the frustration, you start to feel differently inside. Why? Because you trigger a chemical response. Your body releases dopamine and oxytocin. Oxytocin makes you want to hug. Dopamine makes you want to continue to do awesome things. It's the reward chemical. Now, when we get addicted to drugs, when we get addicted to pornography, when we get addicted to things that are bad, it's also dopamine. So this is a positive way to get addicted to dopamine. You almost become addicted to the feeling. You seek that good feeling that comes when you install gratitude for the thing that's awesome embedded in the frustration. And so what's crazy is our bodies release dopamine and oxytocin, and we immediately feel better. The reason why that's power up with gratifuel is in that moment, you switch the train track of your brain, you did something different. That fuel now fuels the train forward until the next frustration. Now, when I go and I step on the Lego in the hall, it's, oh, I'm frustrated again. Why am I frustrated? Because of the Lego and it hurts. Okay, look for what's awesome. I have kids. They have Legos. I get to play with them. You know, and I'm thankful for these kids. I'm thankful I get to play Legos with them. I'm thankful for that fun little game we played yesterday. Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful we made that starship from Star Wars. And all of a sudden you feel better and then you fuel on to the next one. Now, at the end of the day, here's what this whole process does. I call it flipping the gratitude switch, because if you were to walk into a pitch black room and you were told to navigate from one side of the room to the other, and there's all kinds of obstacles in your way, it would be practically impossible for you to do without getting hurt. But with a simple flip of the switch, the room doesn't change, but your ability to navigate it does. What flipping the gratitude switch does is it doesn't necessarily change 2020 or the outcome to the election, or the fact that your health is bad, or the foreclosure, or the car repo, or the divorce, or the terminal illness. It doesn't change that, but it changes your ability to be able to navigate it with a new set of tools and power that can fuel you through. And what happens is when you do that, your brain begins to rewire. You begin to forge new neural pathways, which means in the past, when something would happen that was negative, it would take you a really long time to get over it. But by practicing this flipping of the gratitude switch, your brain starts to change. And what happens is now when the thing happens, you become over time predisposed to joy. Your natural reactionary response is one of, it's okay, you know what, I can be thankful for this, that, and the other. But it takes practice. You've got to go to the gym and do the work with the little things so that when the big things happen, you know how to react to them. And you've changed yourself as a human. Now, what's crazy is, remember I talked about the 3D movie, putting on the glasses and you look through those lenses. When you flip the gratitude switch over time and you change your neural pathways, over time, you no longer have to physically manually put on a new set of lenses. This is like LASIK for your soul. You become someone new. You become predisposed to joy. It doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel frustration. It just means that when it comes, you can acknowledge it. You can give it a high five because now you're there and it's there. So you don't want to ignore it. You don't want to steamroll past it. You say, hey, what's up, frustration? I see you, bro. I got you. Okay, let's do some work. What's awesome? Let me install that gratitude. Okay, I feel better and I move forward. Over time, one choice at a time, bit by bit, day by day, it shifts the trajectory of an entire life.
And so what are the realistic outcomes, I guess, is the question. Okay, so we've changed it. We have gratitude for it. How does that come out in our life? You say your life is so much better now. So what are the realistic expectations?
So when I wrote the book in 2016, I published it August 22nd, 2016. It launched at the same time as a big podcast that I was on, and we sold a bunch of copies. But I had walked away from my company 2 years prior, the real estate company that I'm still a part of today. I kept my ownership, but I walked away because I needed to write this book. Now, I wasn't taking income from the company. We sold our real estate. We spent all of our dollars to get the book into the world because I didn't want to go with the traditional publisher. I wanted to control my message, so I self-published. And so the book comes out in August. We sell some copies. It is not enough to replace my income. Everything is gone. Within just a few months after that book being published, our home is in foreclosure. My car is getting repossessed. We don't have enough money to put food on the table for Thanksgiving. It's going to be impossible to have a Christmas. And I had to go get a part-time retail job at $13 an hour. Remember, this is just a couple years after traveling all over the country and everything was good on paper. See, what I didn't know is that God gave me the message to write the book, but then he was going to test me to see if I believed it. And so every day when I would drive my car, until it got repossessed, and then I got it back. But I would drive my car. I was working at the Container Store in Salt Lake City. I'd drive my car to the Container Store. I'd step out of the car. I dreaded it. I did not want to work retail. I had just been on stages all over the country. Like, what? I just published a book, dude, that was going to change the world. What? So I would look up at that marquee, that Container Store marquee, and every step, I was just thankful that I could put food on the table for my kids. And then I'd walk in that store, and that journey from my car to the store transformed me step by step so that when I walked into the store, I was a different man. And you know what happened? The Container Store, it's pretty hard to get promoted. There's people that had been there for years without a full-time promotion or a management promotion. Within a year, I was promoted to full-time and offered a management position, which I declined. Why? Because when I walked into the store, my focus was the human in front of me because I became someone different. I wanted to serve. I wanted to leave people better off. And so I was just serving them because I was different. I wasn't complaining about the job. I wasn't complaining about the traffic that I had just been in and get frustrated about the dude who cut me off and flipped me off. Like, I was just like, cool, here we go. I get to put food on the table, $13 an hour. That's not great, but you know what? It's enough to buy milk. And so I'd focus on that. At night when I'd have to clean the toilets in the restrooms, man, I was gonna make those toilets sparkle because for me, it was a physical real world expression of what had taken place inside. So because my real world manifested what I was feeling inside, I was the top salesperson. I got promoted to full-time. So all of a sudden I could bail my house out of foreclosure. Then I got offered a management position at the same time as I got offered to speak on a fairly large stage, which was going to be kind of a reoccurring gig that right away over replaced my Container Store income. And at the same time, my business partner who we had bought, he had bought one of our, a couple of our partners out of the company, but I had retained my ownership, and he'd seen all the marketing that I had learned as I got my book out into the world, 'cause it was still selling, just not enough to replace my income. And he'd seen who I'd changed into. And he's like, Kev, listen, now that those guys are gone, do you think you could help me take this company to the next level? So because of who I'd become, real world results started to manifest. The home came out of foreclosure. The car came back. The money started to flow. I was able to speak more than ever. The book started to sell more than ever. I came back to Done For You Real Estate. We transformed the company. We are in the midst of our most profitable year in company history, even during COVID.
Right.
It manifested in the real world, because what it was is the real world started to become a manifestation of the expression of what was going on inside. If I'd stayed negative, I wouldn't have got promoted, right? If I'm pissed at the world and I hate everything, I wouldn't have got promoted. I wouldn't have been given a stage. I had people that came back to me like, hey, I know you've been out of the speaking game, you know, for about a year because you've been doing other things, but man, I just think the stage would be perfect for you. Where did that come from? It was like magic, right? It's think and grow rich type of stuff, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden the world started to change. And so today I can sit, stand before you and everybody and say, not only did I was given the gift of this message to put in a book, but I have lived it and worked it more than almost anybody. I mean, there were dark times, but I powered through with gratitude, through flipping the gratitude switch, and it literally shifted everything in my life. Today, I am more fulfilled, more happy. I don't wake up worried about the election. I wake up going, you know what? I can't control the outcome of the election, but I can control me. I get to control how I love my kids, how I love my wife, whether or not I come on this podcast and I'm pissed about the world and I complain about everything and all the candidates, or you and I get to have an awesome conversation that maybe blesses our lives together and maybe those of people listening. And then there's all this karma that comes from that. It literally just, it becomes something. I don't know how to tell you exactly how it works. Go ask Napoleon Hill for that. But I guarantee you it works because I've seen it.
Right. That's awesome. I like that you talked about how you had to prove that your book would work, and you did. But I also, from that, I heard somewhere, I don't know who mentioned it, but they were talking about the opportunities that come to positive people versus negative people. If you're negative and wallowing, I don't know how to say it anymore. I grew up on a pig farm. I should know how to talk about pigs wallowing in their muck. But if you're wallowing in the misery and the, you're just not a fun person to be around. And so naturally people aren't going to notice you for the good stuff that you can do. Whereas if you're on the positive side of things, people are going to notice you, and they're going to, just like you were saying, opportunities are going to come your way that you don't expect. And so I can kind of see how that works. So I really like that.
Let's use this podcast as an example. Okay. You and I didn't meet before the other day, right? And now we get to have this awesome conversation that hopefully blesses a life. You know what? You got the Amber Alert too.
I did.
Because I wrote the book and because I was trying to live the message, I got invited to be on like this worldwide broadcast, this record setting thing. And there was a dude on there who I'd met before, but his name was Dr. Paul Jenkins. And you got to hear me speak. And then he invited me to come on his podcast. And then he invited me to do some YouTube videos. Then he started to use my book as part of how he teaches others how to deal with frustration and use gratitude. And then I introduced Dr. Paul to some other people who, like I had a kid who got introduced to me that was really in the middle of it. He was suicidal, having a difficult time. I didn't know how to help this kid beyond what I knew. And I said, you need to go to Dr. Paul. I gave him all of Dr. Paul's videos. This kid's life changed because of Dr. Paul. And I got to call Dr. Paul and say, dude, you did this for this kid. And now we have this really cool reciprocal relationship where if anybody asks me, they've got somebody who's struggling and they don't know, they need a really good psychologist. I'm like, you need to go to Paul Jenkins. You need to check out his YouTube channel. Why? Because we got an opportunity because of how he was living his life, who he was, and me and what I was trying to do. We came together, got to know one another, and then opportunities start to open. You found out about me from Dr. Paul Jenkins, right? So, so here we are having this discussion, and who knows what'll come from this. I'm thankful to know you and want to bless you and your audience however I can. And I know you feel exactly the same way. And so, if we were negative people, Bart, if this wouldn't have happened. If you weren't doing this podcast, if you hadn't made the choice to monetize your mindset and start a podcast to change the world, if you hadn't made the choice to put courses together and to go speak and to inspire people, you wouldn't have been on this trajectory that would have taken you to NSA to meet Dr. Paul, which is how you got introduced to me. And we're having this conversation today on this podcast where I'm telling people about my podcast, where maybe somebody listens to our podcast and they decide to go do real estate and it transforms their financial life. Then they tell somebody else about it. All of it can be this ripple effect of positivity, but it's got to be that positive state of things instead of that negative, woe is me, everything sucks, the world is going to explode, I can't possibly take it, I literally can't even. Like, we don't want to hang out with those people.
Right. And that's so true. I have friends that I really like, but sometimes hanging with them and their friends, I just have to get out of there.
Yes.
I can last maybe 10, 15 minutes and then it's time. Okay. Got to go.
I'm out of here. Yeah.
All right. In closing, I usually ask a bunch of questions, but I'm going to ask only two questions of you. Number one, what is the most influential book in your life other than your book?
Yeah. And I'll set religious texts aside as well, but I'm going to give you two. One is called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. The other is Give and Take by Adam Grant.
I haven't heard of Give and Take. I'll have to look into that one.
Phenomenal. It changed who I'm willing to do business with and who I'm willing to have relationships with. It's absolutely fascinating. It's very research-based and it's extremely interesting. It was a game-changing book for me.
I expected Viktor Frankl.
Also fantastic. He and I agree on a lot of things there. Yeah. Or maybe Corey Ten Boom, right? The Hiding Place.
Yep. All right. Lastly. Okay. So one of the things that people have a problem with when they're starting a business, and I know there's a lot of people out there who probably have great ideas. They may be short on funds right now. They may, short on capital, short on being a risk taker, whatever it is, whatever's holding them back. What is your best advice to them to help them get off the fence and get started?
So when I was in college, I had a minor in German. And I had this one class, and every day we got there, he made us free write for like 10 minutes, right? We would just write. He's like, if you don't know what to write, write. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. And then the brain starts to go, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. Write's kind of a weird word. Why is write like write, R-A-I-G-H-T-W-R-I-T-E, write, write. You know what? I like it when people write books. You know what? Books are really cool. You know what? I should be reading more books. And like our brain just starts to go down this path, right? And so what I always tell people is if you're not sure where to start, start with writing a word. Or a free write, right? But a free write starts with one word. And here's why. Everybody should have a book. And not because you're going to sell a billion copies, not because you are going to have a super successful funnel with your book, but it's because it helps focus you and your message in a way that clarifies your ability to share it with the world. And when you begin to share the most pure version of you and what you have to offer the world, people will respond. So you've got to get clear on your message before you can sell your message. And so when you start to write, if you want to write a book, write one word today. Just get up and say one word. Or you know what? If you've got enough time, just do a sentence. And then tomorrow, do another sentence. It's step by step, little by little. But begin by writing. That's number one. The second, build a funnel. You know, if you're not familiar with internet funnels, if you're not familiar with sales funnels, if you're not familiar with how to do that, there's some very easy software. I use one called ClickFunnels, and it's extremely simple to learn about what funnels can do. And you can, you know, start by just putting something on a website, putting something on paper. Because if you don't do those things, then the dream of what you want to accomplish is never going to get there, right? It's that proverb that we all know. The journey of 10,000 miles begins with what?
One step.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. You shared a lot of great information. Where can people connect with you the best?
Yeah, totally. I'm on Instagram at Kevin Clayson. That's KevinClayson. On Facebook, Kevin Clayson. You can find the book, Flip the Gratitude Switch, on Amazon, on Audible, barnesandnoble.com, Kindle. And then also you can reach out to me through our real estate company, dfy-realestate.com. Visit that website. And there's a live chat feature. And I'm usually the one answering the live chat feature. So just because I like to talk to our people. So, dfy-realestate.com, Or you could also just go check out the book on Amazon or Audible, or find me on at Kevin Clayson, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Put all that in the show notes. And for everybody out there listening, till next time, go monetize it.
Thanks for listening to the Monetize Your Mindset Podcast. To identify your ideal side hustle, go to youridealsidehustle.com. Here, take a deep dive into what you like to do, what you need to do, what you're already doing, and then ask, how can I monetize it? Come on back next week for more on how to create financial security so you can deal with whatever happens when whatever happens happens. Because it will happen.